Hey, good morning. It's good to see all of you here. I know in the video, Kim was saying that some of our men are at the retreat, but that's false. They heard the sermon. It was going to be so righteous this morning. They woke up early, and some of them are even here. So if you are at the retreat, just give a wave. See a few of you guys are there. Let's thank these guys for investing in Eagle Bay Camp. And I applaud you for making it to church this morning. If I were you, I would have taken it off or go to church in Blind Bay or something and see what they got going on there. So, glad to have you guys back and looking forward to hearing a little bit about what was accomplished with our partners at Eagle Bay. If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like you to put your fingers in two different texts. We're going to start in Luke chapter 6, and then we're going to drop into Acts chapter 2. Both of these are some stories that are recorded to us by Dr. Luke, and they're going to help us think a little bit about what it means to be all in and to be the church together. My approach today is a little bit different than what we've been doing for the past 7 weeks as we've been in this series. A lot has been directed of what does it mean for us as individuals to be all in with the church. And today, I'd like to take a different approach, maybe go up to 10,000 feet, so to speak, and go, what does it look like for us as this collective group of people who call themselves Vernon Alliance? How are we moving forward all in together? And what are some of the things about our corporate life together that we need to consider as we move forward into the future that God is calling us into? And maybe to set the stage for that, I'd like to consider a paradigm of thinking about being a Jesus follower, thinking about being a church, and remind ourselves or give you, maybe you can help, you can be helped to understand the paradigm that has shaped my thinking as your pastor, and that might give us some perspective on how we might proceed together or think about the kinds of activities or the kinds of culture we would want to have as a church family in the years ahead. So for those of you who may have been joining us online way back when I began in February, I introduced a shape that helps me think about being a Christian and also helps me think about what the church is to be about, and that is this triangle. And really, the triangle gives me a perspective on relational priorities that Jesus set in his life when he was doing particularly his 3 years of ministry in Israel. And so just to hear about a day in Jesus' life, let's look at Luke chapter 6 as he describes one of Jesus' kind of typical days. And you can find it starting in verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Like I said, I think this vignette shows us a little bit about the relational priorities of Jesus. Number one, there was an upward relationship that was the driving force in his life, and that was his vertical relationship with his heavenly Father. Jesus was in constant contact with the Father. He says, in fact, in other places, that he only did what he saw his Father doing. He only spoke what he heard his Father speaking to him. That was the driving relationship that guided his entire work and ministry. Luke 5:16, if you were a little bit earlier, you would read that Jesus often, this this night on the mountain wasn't just a random thing. He often headed away to engage with his father. And even when he was a little boy, elementary age, when his mom and dad couldn't find him for a few days, he said, look, like, I wasn't going to the arcade. I wasn't hanging out at the theater. If you were going to look at me for a specific place, you would know that I would want to be at the place where my father hangs out. I'd want to be at the temple. So, upward relationship, key relationship for Jesus. But it's not just that Jesus retreated like a monk into a cave and just spent his entire life hanging out with his Heavenly Father. He also brought around him a group of people who became his team, so to speak. And he prioritized relationships with other people who were also following his Father. So we see this list of 12 names because Jesus gathered around him a circle of people with whom he did life day in and day out. Although he never turned anybody away who approached him, these 12 guys had access to Jesus' life. He intentionally poured himself into them, strengthened their faith, and taught them the truth, and actually began equipping them to take leadership in his church in the future. Jesus, despite being the Son of God, God incarnate, was not a lone ranger. He lived in close proximity with people who knew him, who helped him, and were in deep relationship with him. But it wasn't just about Jesus' relationship with his Father and those who were on his team. We can see immediately after appointing the disciples, Jesus goes down the mountainside and begins to pour his life into the world at large. His outward relationship with a world in need. Matthew says that when Jesus saw crowds like this, his heart went out to them. He was deeply moved at the core of his being because he saw that the world of his day, that people were deeply harassed. They were spiritually dead. They were in need of a shepherd. And in his typical fashion, he did not wait only for people to come to him. He went and ministered to them at their point of need. If they needed healing, as they did in this text, he healed them. If they were hungry in other places, he fed them. If they had questions about life and death and the nature of reality, he helped them understand what was what. Now, I would argue that this is not just a random day for Jesus. This is how he lived his life day in and day out. And he did it, not just because that's what he did, and that's just kind of his philosophy. He did it as a model for us, as a kind of example for the kinds of priorities we ought to have as his followers. And I would argue the kinds of priorities that we ought to have as a corporate body, as the church. Now you might think, okay, that's nice, but you know, maybe it's a bit much to say that this little picture of Jesus' life somehow forms the pattern for all his people to follow. Aren't you arguing maybe a bit much? Well, maybe, but let's actually look at like the earliest days of the church, day one of the church, when Luke, again, the same biographer who just told us this little story about a day in the life of Jesus, when he paints a picture of the church only a few weeks after Jesus' ascension into heaven, watch how he paints it. And this is where, if you had your thumb in Acts chapter 2, this is where you would hear about this. This is verse 42, this is the church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay, do we see these Jesus followers shortly after Jesus has left? Do they prioritize the upward dimension with their Father? Well, of course, right? We see right off the bat that they continue in Jesus' pattern of regular prayer. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. They actually continue to sit under Jesus' teaching. It's now only passed down to them through the apostles who were originally with him. In the breaking of bread, they practiced regular time around the Lord's table, kept coming back to ground zero, to Jesus' death on the cross for them. They continually looked ahead when they came around the communion table to his return. And not only that, they were going regularly to places, to meetings where God was the central focus. They continued to meet, verse 46 says, in the temple courts. That is, they continued this institutional rhythm of weekly worship, coming to the big house to engage with the living God. And in addition to that, there was more informal gatherings going on where they met in one another's homes. It seems that in addition to the temple worship, the kind of formal stuff, there was more informal worship going on. Worship gatherings were breaking out in people's homes, and they had a mixture of like formal stuff with more casual stuff that just broke out as they met in regular life. So certainly we see this upward relationship going on in the early church. How about the inn? Was there an emphasis on relationships with other people who were following Jesus, members of God's family? Do we see that in the early church? Well, yes, it's clear. We see there's fellowship. They're hanging out together in one another's homes. They're sharing their possessions with one another. It's not that they had all joined the Communist Party. This was voluntary. Those who had means were quite happy to share and use their resources to help others who were in need. And of course, there was all this stuff happening in people's homes where they were just mixing life with one another. And finally, what about the outward focus? Is there anything here that would indicate these people were striving to reach and serve beyond just the core Christian community? Well, sure. Everything that happens here is a direct result of the day of Pentecost. If you back up and read the first part of Acts chapter 2, you will see that Peter is preaching a sermon to a crowd who witnessed a miracle, and he ends it by inviting people to repent of their sin, to forsake their old ways, and to be baptized in the name of Jesus. What happens? 3,000 people that day are added to their number. 3,000 people take the plunge and get baptized in one day. The first day in history that the Holy Spirit fills some Christians, and what happens? They immediately invite other people to join them as they follow Jesus. It wasn't just like, oh, that was an awesome church service and there was so much happening within us. Immediately, the Holy Spirit prompted them to invite other people in, to go beyond the close-knit community that was already there. Up, in, out. These are Jesus' priorities, and as they followed in his footsteps, these became the priorities of the early church. Now, I know you might be thinking, okay, Jason, fantastic. That is a nice philosophy. We're glad you paid attention in like church 101 class when you were in Bible school. Nice. What is Vernon Alliance Church doing about this kind of stuff? And how are we going to do up, in, and out together? Well, I'm not going to tell you everything, but let me give you a few little hints or a few things that are happening among us so that you can kind of know what's about and join in with us. First of all, let's think about up, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. I trust that currently and in the years to come, there will be a renewed emphasis on us doing life together, pursuing after our Heavenly Father in all kinds of different contexts, certainly in this room, in the big worship service, but also in huddles, in home groups, where we help one another nurture our relationship with our Father. And so, I'm going to ask you again, I've done this like four times in the last month or so, who's with you? Who's helping you pursue your relationship with your Heavenly Father? To what degree are you yourself pursuing that vertical relationship? Because, you know, coming to get it here is one thing, but you yourself investing as Jesus himself did is a critical component to that relationship being a real deal. Now, I believe it is our responsibility as staff and as an institutional church to provide programs and means which help you better connect with God. But let me tell you a little bit about where we find ourselves right now as a team. We are still aligning. They're getting used to the new boss. And you recall that, for those of you who've been around, 2 years ago, we had, I think, around 26 part-time and full-time employees. We are now down to about 14 of us. And I just would want to affirm the team that works with me. They are talented, passionate, gifted people, but they do not have double the capacity that they once did. So our output, the amount of programs that we offer, the speed at which we can run is a little bit dialed back from where we once were as we kind of get reset, as we realign our priorities, and we deal with a little bit more economical size as a staff team. So I would ask you, as a church family, to pray for us as we continue to get aligned and we figure out, you know, what do we need to push into and where do we need to hold back a little bit so that we can operate within our capacity. Also, as I think about developing our corporate upward relational dimension, I'm convinced that prayer needs to be a central component to what we're doing together as we get to know God. And so there are ways that you can pray. Every Thursday morning, we pray here. Every Sunday morning, 8:15, we're praying in the arbor. We were there today asking Jesus to blow fresh wind in our church, to renew us. And I would just invite any of you who want to come and join us to ask God to do that underlying work, come pray with us for an hour on Sunday mornings. You still have time to get to Starbucks once we're done praying and come here fully caffeinated or whatever it is you need. And starting this weekend, we are relaunching our weekend prayer ministry. I get paid because I'm supposed to bring teaching here, supposed to have something of value and worth that gets you into God's Word. But I don't think that we're doing all we can to connect you with God if it's simply giving you some things to hear. Often the stuff that God is at work in this context needs to be prayed in. There are needs that we have. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and we go, I need to apply that. Or there is such big need in my life, I need to share that burden with someone else and bring my need before my Father. So starting this weekend, every weekend, after every service, we will have the prayer team available to meet with you, pray with you, whether it's a need that you have, someone else you're praying for, if you need healing, if there's a friend or a family member that you just want to lift up. There will be people here passionate about prayer who would love to support you in whatever way possible. And we're going to pray for that team. When we conclude the service, some of them will be here, some of them were here last night, and just commission them to pray on our behalf. Those of you who are joining us online, I would ask for a little bit of patience. We're trying to figure out how do we provide personal prayer, connect you with a real live person, even as you're at home. We need to put together, figure out a few of the details on that. So within a couple weeks, I hope to be able to talk to you folks and give you a practical ways that you also can connect with our weekend prayer ministry. So that's some of the things that are going on as we cultivate our upward relationship with God. What about the in? What are we doing in this church to bring us together, to nurture and cultivate fellowship in our midst? Let me talk a little bit about our friendliness factor as a church. We have here a fantastic hospitality ministry. Those of you who serve as ushers or greeters, you're like the friendliness professionals of Vernon Alliance Church. And that's a robust ministry. Thank you for serving. But I would say, as a pastor who's been around church my entire life, the friendliness factor of the church doesn't rest only with the professionals. It also rests with the general population, the people who you are sitting next to day in, week out, right? And it's developmental for us. Is that a kind way to put it? Could you handle that for me? I know that we're regrouping here as a church family. We've been separated from each other for a year and a half. It's COVID. It's weird. We have masks. How do we work through that stuff? We're not sure who everyone else is, but just from talking to some of you, I've never yet come from a service where I've just been overwhelmed by people saying, it was so friendly in there, I was just bowled over. Everyone was just trying to hug me and greet me and know who I was, like, back off. Not one complaint yet like that. At the same time, I've heard some new people say, man, I find that it's fairly easy to be invisible and go in and out. And there's lots of people, obviously, who have shared deep history. They've known each other for a long time. They've been at Vernon Alliance since 1892, and they knew the Vernon brothers or whoever they were. But I'd love to be a part of that, but I can't quite break in. Could I invite us to participate in the ministry of noticing others? Of noticing those who are around us, even if they aren't familiar. And a pro tip, don't start with how long have you been at Vernon Alliance? Okay? Because guaranteed you're going to ask someone and they will say, only for 52 years, thanks for noticing. So just don't ask that question. Just start with, hey, I'm Jason and you are, I should probably know your name. And we'll laugh, it'll be kind of weird, uncomfortable, and then just kind of whatever. But don't start with how long have you been here, or is this your first Sunday? Who cares? They don't care. I don't care how long they've been here. We're just noticing that you're here now. And could I get two thumbs up from some of you out there say, I could try to say hi or notice others around me and kind of engage that. Could I get that from you? All right. Thank you very much. Let's be honest, though, about another relational development here in our church. These have been a tough couple years for us. And if this has been your church family for a while, you know that the many changes and transitions we've experienced as a church, coupled with the strains of this pandemic, these have been challenging times for Vernon Alliance and potentially painful times for some of us here. And so as the board has been praying and thinking about this, that's been on our heart a lot. What, even though we're eager to move and take next steps as a leadership team, how do we help people who are still having a hard time with this past couple years? So we've decided to do a bit of listening. And we've asked a former congregant here, Michelle Dirksen, who's been a part of our church and is now has a small little consulting business that she has. She is chairing and conducting what we're just calling a listening initiative. And she and a small independently appointed committee of people not from this church are doing some 30-minute interviews where we just ask some of you who may want to participate in that three simple questions. Number one, what are some of the priorities we need to focus on as we move into the future? Number two, are there some concerns or roadblocks or obstacles that are preventing you from moving into the future with us? And number three, in your opinion, are there some ways that we as a leadership team should address some of those concerns and roadblocks? So we've got over the course of the first two weekends of November on Friday and Saturday, we've got at least two dozen slots still open. If you would like us to hear from you, if you'd like to speak into that, if you'd like us to get a bead a little bit better on what's happened in the past couple years, we invite you to speak into that, and we would love to hear from you. And at the conclusion of those interviews, Michelle and her team will assess the feedback, compile it, give a report to the board, as well as make some recommendations to us on how we can move forward in a healthy, more inwardly good church together, and that will help us figure out what we need to do as we take the next steps. And if you'd like to participate, again, November 5th, 6th, and November 12th, 13th are the days that Michelle and her team are doing those listening initiatives. All you need to do is phone Jocelyn, our receptionist, during church hours, and she will book you in for one of those appointments. Lastly, out. What about our relationship with the people of Vernon? What are we doing to meet the needs of the people of the North Okanagan? Well, let's think about our vision. For the past, I think 17 years, this has been the vision of Vernon Alliance Church. We've said that we are about helping people discover Jesus Christ and become his followers. And those practices at the root of the tree, worship, community, scripture, prayer, those are the corporate practices and individual practices that we want to help cultivate our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we've said that as a result of those practices, generosity, mission, compassion, service, that's the overflow of our connection with our Heavenly Father. This is a good vision. It itself is clearly based on Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. But I would say the time has come for us to rejuvenate, refresh, listen to the Holy Spirit again about where we're going and what we're doing in the 2020s. And so in the coming months, the board, in tandem with the staff, are going to be asking again, what is God calling us to do? Where are we going? And how do we get from where we are now to where we're going in the future? And so we will be retiring this vision, I trust, by June with a new one that we sense the Holy Spirit is giving us direction for in the future. And I made this joke last night. Not many people got it, but I just got to make it again. I'm committed that the new vision will not use papyrus font, so that will be probably retiring in the future. And if you don't know what papyrus font is, then watch a video and you'll have a good laugh. So, you also know that we can have whatever nice words we want on a wall, put our vision on the website, make a big placard, talk about it all the time, but how do we actually have a strategy that aligns with it? And I think that whatever strategy we need to have also needs to consider the needs of the people that we live among. And so we are also, this fall, have already established a committee to look at the specific needs that are facing our area and try to answer questions like, how many people are coming here in the future? Who are they? Where are they coming from? Where are they going to live? What are other ministries that are serving the poor and the needy and addressing addictions? What are they seeing? What are their needs? How could the church collaborate? What are our political and provincial and civic leaders saying about the priorities of the future? Where is the church present geographically in the North Okanagan, and where is there maybe an absence of church presence? And so this committee, led by one of our elders, Darren Croker, is seeking to get some answers to those questions, and we hope that when they're done their work and present a report to us sometime in the new year, that'll give us a better sense of some of the needs we might address in the future. As I close, let's think a little bit about how we may need to change the way we do or think about out as a church family. And I want us maybe to think about your radio. Now, I chose this illustration, then recognize that some of you never have seen a radio dial like this in your life. How many of you have never seen, well, I won't ask. When I was driving, like, my parents, like, 1970 vehicle, we had this radio where, like, you had to adjust the channel and get in between. Many of you won't understand what I'm talking about. But your radio on the AM and FM, the dial is full of channels, right? There are radio stations broadcasting on so many different frequencies, right? And depending on what channel you are turned into, you can get rock, pop, classical, jazz, news, talk, sports. And I was saying to the church last night, if you're desperate, there's always country on some station, right? Each station the executives, the leaders that are there are really specific on who they're trying to aim at reaching, what music those people listen to, the kind of advertising that might hit the target audience, how much talk, how little talk, what, you know, decade of music should be played. And they really are intentional about that. It's my conviction that the good news about Jesus, that needs to be told and demonstrated in the lives of real people. It needs to be told and demonstrated to everyone in the North Okanagan. The good news, the gospel as we call it, needs to be broadcast on a lot of different channels. People of all different backgrounds, seniors, athletes, business people, artists, the bar crowd, university students, elementary students, ranchers, each of those groups should have the opportunity to see the gospel demonstrated in a way that they understand and hear it spoken in a way that they get. And I think that we, as the church, Vernon Alliance specifically, we do a good job broadcasting on a few channels, on a few frequencies, particularly the frequency where people who come from an evangelical church background, if they're listening on that channel, we do a good job at reaching that demographic. And maybe we also do not bad at, you know, speaking to people who are interested in church at least a little. But if we just think about, you know, though that target are an audience, we are missing a whole, we're missing the majority of people who are on the radio, right? And if we just think about what we're broadcasting in terms of this place, there is a whole lot of channels we will not broadcast to. There are just a bunch of people who will not listen to our station. So what do we do if we really believe that everyone, that all our neighbors should have a chance to hear and experience the good news of Jesus? How should we start broadcasting to these folks if they don't listen to our channel and are never going to come here to our building? We can't just do up in and out for us, right? Like run church like it's a club for Christians only. If we're serious about following Jesus outwardly, we must begin to think like missionaries in our town, right? If you think about people that we send to foreign fields, they've got to think cross-culturally. They have to learn the language. They need to immerse themselves in culture. And as they're doing this, they're asking themselves like the all-important question, how do I communicate the good news of Jesus in these people's languages, in their customs, and in a context that will make sense to them? Well, you gathered here today who know Jesus, you need to begin thinking as a missionary in your own culture. How are your friends and co-workers and neighbors going to come and understand who Jesus is? By you bringing them here so that I can do it? Maybe, for some, right? But we need people who are doing cross-cultural work on behalf of the church in all these other contexts, right? Doing up, out, and in beyond this building, beyond our own programs. Practicing this kind of Jesus life in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, on the pathways. Translating the good news about Jesus in actions and words that the people of Vernon and Armstrong and Lumbee and Coldstream understand. And our aim is not just so we can hold more services here at our church and do up in and out at this campus and be more hospitable so that people will be attracted to be here with us. We actually need to get out of here, bust out, equip and release people who live up in and out within a whole ton of subcultures in our community that are never going to be here. Like I said, ranch subculture, hockey families, seniors, new Canadians, musicians. We need to start broadcasting on all kinds of different frequencies and become a community of people who gather regularly to follow Jesus' pattern of life. We worship, we learn, we care for one another. We form relationships that stand the test of time. We serve the poor by raising money to send others out. but also we form a lot of little communities scattered throughout the North Okanagan, living out those same priorities in the neighborhoods and workplaces and play places where we hang out for the rest of the week. We live out the gospel in every nook and cranny of our community. That's what it means to live up in and out together. And I trust in the months and years together, we're going to start figuring that out a little better as a church family. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, again, we started a place of gratitude. Gratitude that you sent your Son to seek and save us. Gratitude that he serves as an example of how to live a vibrant, full life. Thank you for adopting us in. Help us follow after the example of your Son. I pray that we would be a people who are dialed into the life of the Father, that we would hear his voice regularly and respond in obedience. I pray that we would be a place where people belong, where people are noticed and drawn in and connected in a vital way to others. And I pray that you would increase our generosity, increase our awareness of the needs around us, so that we can reach out in your name and be a people who demonstrate the love of God beyond our walls, beyond our current community. And I pray that you would help us do that as a big gathered group here when we meet on the weekends. But I also pray for individuals and small groups who are seeking to do the same thing in the neighborhoods scattered throughout this valley. And as a result, we pray that there would be more days where tens, dozens, hundreds of people are added to your family, and we see more and more people experiencing the dynamic life of Jesus in them. Only you can make it so. Holy Spirit, come. Amen.